Closer, the Entrepreneur's Circle.
Hey, I'm so glad you're here because I don't often get the opportunity to share with you exactly what I do and what we do here at On Air Brands. So we help the folks in our community and our clients to launch a podcast and then produce them on a weekly basis. We also help to promote each episode with close to a dozen social media posts that consist of quote cards, sound bites, and video clips. And then we post them for you on your socials automagically. So if you're a business owner with a ton on your plate, and a podcast just seems super overwhelming, I get it. We don't need one more thing to worry about. So let me and my team at On Air Brands do the heavy lifting each week so that you can focus on what you do best, which is to build your business, have more time to pour into your family and your community, or just plain chill and recharge. So feel free to email me at eric@onairbrands.com so that we can book time together to chat about how we can align with your mission and how you can align with ours, which is to make the world better. One mic at a time. Now back to the show. This is how my podcast used to start. It was only certain individuals I could do this with where we just talk. And it's just a natural flowing conversation. But real quick, I was at a Yo Abundance event last week. Mm. And for the first time, I did an ice bath.
Really?
Cold bath. Sorry. Cold plunge.
First time?
That sounds sexy. No. First time I did I do cold showers.
Okay.
But never cold plunges.
And so I know you're going to tell your story, but what did you think? How was it?
Amazing.
Actually, no, finish your story. Then I'll go back.
So two bros go first. They do it 3 minutes minimum each. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I could do this. Yep. Dude, I'm not even kidding. I felt like getting out after 10 seconds. I wanted to scream my head off.
How cold was the water?
It was about 40 degrees.
That's
around that range.
That's really cold for first time.
First time.
50, 52, 53 is kind of enough for like getting the hermetic effects of it. Below that, it's really just
extra. This was a pro spa. So I went in and my feet, you know, there's thermal jets. So they're blowing at the bottom.
Yep.
So it's extra cold at my feet. And I'm just telling the guys, I'm like, I feel like my feet have frozen solid. And they're like, take your feet out and your hands. So I sit on the steps and my hands are in the air and my feet are sticking out. My toes are sticking out.
Yep.
And now I'm like, okay, it's tolerable. They're like, breathe, bro, breathe. And they're cheering me on. Like, you could do this. So it was helping. But that was the longest 3 minutes of my entire life. It's time is all relative. So then I air it out. You know, I get out and then I air dry a little bit. And walking around and a bunch of guys are getting into the hot tub. So then they're getting in the hot tub. It could fit probably half a dozen guys comfortably. And I'm like, I don't want to get in there just yet. It's about 10 minutes goes by. I'm like, yeah, let me go in. Finally, I go in. Sitting there, that's real nice and cozy. I'm looking over, dude, because it's getting so hot after about 10, 15 minutes. I'm looking over at the ice tub again.
Go back in there.
Yeah. And I go, I'm going to go in. And my friend, who is an expert at it, he does it every day. He's like, I'll walk you through it. Mm-hmm. Actually, he sat in there with me. And we kind of like sat in a meditation pose. He was explaining to me. He was like, where does it hurt the most, Eric? I'm like, my feet. He's like, let's breathe through your feet.
Yep.
Breathe through your feet. And
yep.
I was like, oh. And so his help did wonders. Dude, I ended up going three times. And then I developed a cough after that, bro. My throat got sore that very next hour.
Yep.
Sore throat. And then it developed into a cough. And that's where we're at.
So I had I had a similar, I have a cold plunge. So I've done it a lot.
Nice.
I had a similar got sick from it sort of thing. I don't know surprisingly for me, I don't know the mechanics of what caused the illness to kind of come through because doing cold therapy does help boost your immune system. Mm-hmm. So maybe it just kind of grabbed something that was sort of there and kind of forced it forward and created an immune response is probably my guess. But you figured out the secret to cold plunge. It's just about controlling your thoughts and refocusing all your attention on breathing. That's it. You know, you can make 3 minutes go by relatively quickly. But yeah, it is painful. 40 degrees, first time doing it. Hands and feet can be very, very distracting for you. So I give you a lot of credit for doing that. Congratulations, Sarah.
Thank you. Hey, mazel tov. I obsessed about it, bro, after I got back. And I want to ask you about your cold plunge.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to do it at home. I'm talking chest freezers and silicone those. I'm not going to do that. Buying those Rubbermaid 100-gallon tubs and putting, you know, connecting all the tubes to it. Yep. Going out and buying $1,000 minimum,
minimum. Plunge tub. So many different ways, dude. I think I'm going to, right now, for my wife to get used to it, I'm like, I have a gigantic jacuzzi tub in my master bath. Mm-hmm. Why don't I just do that for a week? And then somehow get the water flowing in there so it doesn't get gross. Then empty it out after the week. But I think I might do the Rubbermaid thing at some point, where you can kind of create your own thing there. Get the chiller, because the chiller is key, right? You got to get the chiller with the tubes that keeps the flow.
Yeah, it's supposed to be cold water. So I've done all these things. I can spare you some savings here. I agree with you. Before you make the plunge, pardon the pun, the investment on the thing.
Yeah.
There's no harm in just getting some ice bags. The only inconvenience is getting ice bags, enough of them, because you need a lot of ice. So having enough ice bags, try it out. Like, see what your life looks like and how you feel with it. As you know, mm-hmm. The best part is getting out of the thing, right? And you're like, oh man, I feel like $1 million, right? Just like anything that's hard, you come out of it, you're like, oh, that was effing awesome. Yeah. So try it out with that. I bought the trough. I had the trough thing. That's annoying because ice bags, it's unsustainable. And if you're a busy entrepreneur dude like I am, ain't nobody got time for that. So what I did do was I built a chest freezer. I bought a chest freezer and I retrofitted it to be a cold plunge. I added a couple of things. I added an ozone aerator thing from Amazon. It was like $50. That made a huge difference. And you can even just buy one of those and throw that into your jacuzzi tub thing. Mm-hmm. The only thing is you don't want to be in the room when that runs because of the ozone's irritant. Right. I did buy a fish tank filter, with a UV light. I threw that in there. And then I got more complicated, fancy, because I got a temperature probe where depending on a certain temperature, it would turn the freezer on and off so I can have it at 52 degrees or so, 53 degrees. My next thing, I've graduated from it. My next thing is actually go buy, I think it's from Renew. It's like a $9,000 thing because I want something that's got all the pieces. It's got the ozone, it's got the UV, it's got the filter.
The chiller.
It's got all the bits. That's the next level, but I've been doing it for a couple of years. So there's that. And one other thing before I forget, don't do it after you exercise.
Okay.
Because the point of exercise is to create inflammation, and the inflammation is the signal that your body uses to create new muscle or repair and growth. You stem that, you stop it the second you do a hard workout and then jump right into the cold plunge. So wait at least, what's the number? 4, 6, 8 hours.
Wow.
So you can get that effect and then you can do it and it stymies it pretty quickly.
I'm in the habit of taking the cold shower. So if I do it in the morning, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to work out an hour after that.
The morning is the best time to do it because your body naturally is going to heat up for the day. Nighttime is kind of the worst time because your body wants to cool down. But if it's sort of this weird paradox that happens. A sauna is the best to take at nighttime because your body wants to naturally cool down as you're heating it up, and your body wants to cool down to get the best sleep. So those complement each other. But doing this cold plunge at nighttime can screw your sleep up.
Yeah.
So the morning is the best time to do the cold plunge.
Do you ever go back and forth?
I've done that a couple of times. Yeah. It's like, how much time am I going to spend doing this? Or is it going to be an hour long thing, or am I going to make it like a quick 15 minute jump in, do my thing, take a shower and get on with my day? But it's a cool thing to do. Like if you want to make it like a half day retreat day for yourself, you know?
Right. Or what about when friends come over? You're like, hey man, you want to do a cold plunge?
Totally.
You want to do sauna? Yeah.
Totally. Totally. Right,
that's a cool thing. I was thinking about actually, maybe you'll appreciate this one because I don't know where you have it set up. I have this area in my garage. It's significant. It's probably like an eighth of the size of the entire garage. That's all these tools and these work surfaces that I do not use. I'm not a handyman guy. I'm like, let me just tear that all out of here and put a freaking sauna and a cold plunge right there. How cool would that be? And then I put the little cedar wood walking area, and little towels hanging up and a little spa in the garage. How did you set it up for the experience?
My first one was outside. Then my second one, the chest freezer one, I had a little, I had a walkout basement, my last house. So you'd walk out of the basement, off to the side, I had the freezer. And then in the basement too, I had a built-in, no, it was a clear light sauna. I like their saunas that actually fit right into the closet space perfectly. Oh. So it looks like a built-in thing. So they were pretty close to each other. Now at my current house, we thought about it a bit more. We renovated and now I put the sauna literally right next to the shower. So the cold plunge will be around the deck. But right now it's nice having the sauna next to the shower because you get out, you're all sweaty and you just jump into the shower.
Right,
so,
right.
But your idea, somewhere that you're going to use it is the best place. So if you have space in your garage and you are going to repurpose it so it can be more functional for you, highly encourage you to do that.
Yeah. That's great, man.
Plus it's nice in the garage because you're not going to worry about like getting water on the floor, right? It's okay. Yeah. It's sort of like it could get wet.
Yeah. I mean, the only first world problem with that is it's on another floor.
Yes.
It's not upstairs where the bedroom is. Oh man. But yeah, I did feel very privileged and honored to experience that. And I was like, oh well, let me give myself a week or two to recover from this chest thing. I'm not sure, like you said, where it came from. Yeah,
I agree with you. You want to listen to your body. Like if you don't feel like you're motivated to do it, that's a signal right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I even took some cold showers this week and I was like, whoa, my body's like, whoa, are we doing this again? What's going on, bro?
Yeah. Like you got to remember, like your body sends so much energy trying to heal, fight off an infection. Like now I have to make energy to heat up. Right. And I'm starving my immune system from the energy it needs to fight off the thing. So like rest and don't kill yourself with the cold showers. Yeah. The other piece I was going to tell you too, Eric, is have you ever done, breath work. Have you done breath work before?
That's so funny you say, because in the same day I did breath work that morning. 1 hour session.
What did you think?
Dude, it was my second time. Very similar experience. Divine intervention, conversations, visions, just a wild ride. The first time I did it, I was alone with my guide. We did it over Zoom. Mm-hmm. And, the second time was in a room of 80 dudes laying on the floor. So it was pretty intense.
That's a different experience when you're all together. Like,
yeah.
This is going to sound woo.
Yeah.
The energy of all the guys together doing that changes the experience drastically.
I imagine so. Yeah. I mean, it was a little distracting because you hear a lot of going there, you know, and myself included. So that was a little bit distracting, but definitely, I've never done the breath. We did the breathe through the stomach, breathe through the chest, and then release, exhale through the mouth. So all of it's through the mouth. So
were you doing breath holds?
There was no
breath holds. Sustained breath holds?
No sustained breath holds for this one, but we were laying down, which was weird, JP. We were laying down to it. And then, you know, stomach, chest, exhale for I think about a half hour.
Yep.
So that I didn't know was going to be effective. Especially laying down. I never do it. Start laying down. But yeah, my mind, my fingers are tingling, my toes, my whole body was tingling. And then it was all guided. So it was like, who do you forgive? And then it's like, think of that one person. And I forgive you. You know, it was wild. Everybody's screaming at the same time. And it was pretty intense. How about you with your breath work rituals?
So, quick thing. There's a thing called holotropic breathing.
No, what's that?
By Stanislav Grof. He's early pioneer in like psychedelics and stuff like that. And like what he found was you're able to get similar psychedelic experiences by just using your breath. Your brain kind of can release DMT. And so they found a lot of therapeutic benefits from doing that. So what you were tapping into sounds very similar to a kind of mini version of holotropic breathing, which is very intense kind of intense breathing like that. Breath work is awesome for a whole variety of reasons. It's so simple and so powerful. I think I got turned on to that by stumbling onto Wim Hof years ago, before he kind of like let the secret out on how the Wim Hof breathing works. And then like somebody gave him the message, like, just give it all for free, dude. Right. Like, and then the universe will pay you back. And I feel like that's what happened. But there's a couple of apps we use. I use Outer Ship. I wish they would pay me because I keep plugging this damn thing. It's a relatively expensive app, but it's well produced. So they have different journeys you can pick on there. You want to do a cold plunge journey. They have intimate ones for you and your lover. Or they just have like evening ones, morning ones, gratitude ones. One that I actually found really helpful for me when I was going through it was a business/personal issue challenge the long story, the short version was I had a partner that the partnership was kind of blowing up, and it was bleeding into personal life, and it was just very, very stressful. And one day I was microdosing. I might have microdosed that day. Did a microdose of psilocybin, and I did this breath work exercise. It was like a release or a stress release one. It was 40 minutes. I can't begin to explain how good I felt. I like gave myself permission to just let go. Like each breath out was letting go of the things that didn't need to serve me anymore. And I walked away from that like a new man. So I'm a big believer in breath work. And then when you get more advanced, you can use it to like downregulate your nervous system, calm you down with box breath. There's just like these really cool things. And it's a really, you know, entry level course into breath, the whole breath work world.
Yeah. I just want to share with the audience, because I forgot there's an audience here listening to us. But so yeah, you and I go down these rabbit holes real quickly, but, so anyone who's thinking about a psilocybin or MDMD, these are they're not psychedelics, right? They're
psychoactive
compounds. Pretty much the go-to and top of conversation when it comes to treating trauma, PTSD, things like that. Just unpacking past traumas and issues that you may have had as a child, to unlock something so that you can move forward. Like a lot of people, you know, my wife and I were talking about an old coworker of hers that is dealing with depression. I was like, man, if she only knew about psilocybin or some of these methodologies that are now very effective, right? I think they're legalizing and they're actually allowing people to put this in their practices. But breath work, dude, for me was the entry, the gateway, because I didn't want to take those drugs. Like I took so many drugs in my life already. I'm like, I don't want to develop something down the road. So let's try breath work. And it works. And I asked people, and I want to ask you, the difference between breath work versus those alternative medications and treatments. What's the similarities? What do you feel is better? And if you could only choose one, which would you choose?
Oh, wow. These are good questions. I feel like each of them has their own purpose. The breath work is obviously, it's something that you can do anytime, any day. It's universal. It's ubiquitous. You can do it in the morning as part of your morning routine. It takes a few minutes. I mean, you can literally spend 3 to 4 minutes of breath work, right? You can do it during a workout as a way of calming down your nervous system. You could do it when you're having a stressful day, stressful time. I mean, even now for me, I realize I'm not fully breathing. And I think a lot of us are unconscious of the lack of full depth diaphragmatic breathing that we should be doing all day long. Like if you look at a baby, their belly goes in and out as they breathe, their diaphragm fully moves up. And doing breath work allows you to reconnect with that natural way of breathing. So that can be used really at any time. Nighttime to calm down. And then on the psilocybin, on the medicine, plant medicine part, that's a bit of a different thing. I mean, that for me, I was a straight edge guy. I never did anything. I only drank when I was 21. And even then I was a lightweight, one drink and I'm like, whoa. So I didn't really get into it. I had a lot of like limiting beliefs around it, a lot of stigmas. And I kind of changed my mind or opened my mind to it by, I think getting exposed to like Michael Pollan's book, How to Change Your Mind. And Dr. Joe Dispenza, resources are on that. And what I learned is, you know, the two are kind of, They're complementary mechanisms that can help you unlock trauma, deal with trauma, enter altered states. And I think on the psychedelic side, that's something really where you absolutely need to work with a professional, right? I had the fortune of meeting a great person, we'll call her plant medicine coach. And she's trained specifically to help with those things, right? I just decided one day, and I'm not saying you said this, but like just go online and buy this thing and check it out, because you can have a very bad experience and it's a very, very powerful substance and you need to understand how it works, how to use it so that you can get the greatest benefits, because it is super powerful and it can help fix things. And the last thing I'll say here is, you know, people may not think they have trauma, but if you're a human, right, and you had parents, chances are you've got trauma, and it shows up in different ways, and our personality kind of masks it in different ways. But I've in the last couple of years, I've really been, I don't know, motivated and excited by those two things, introducing them into my life and making just better experiences from it, learning from it.
Yeah, it's it's definitely worth the conversation looking into, especially, like you said, if you think you don't have traumas to deal with, you surely do. We all
it
have.
It can be so small, right? You know, yeah. When you're 5 years old and you spill the milk and mom says, why did you do that? Because she's, you know, frazzled. And then like, there's a thing that gets programmed into your mind, like you are worthless.
Yeah.
And then you hold on to that.
And in our space, especially in real estate or investing where, and yeah, I didn't introduce you. I'm going to have to do an intro later on here about what you do and how you do and how you help. But the money thing, dude, that's still a thing for me. Like the way they treated money, the way their relationship with money, you know, I adopted a lot of those terrible habits. There's stuff there that needs to be unlocked. I question though, because we talked about psilocybin, MDMD. What about ayahuasca? You ever experience or have any interest in that? Because that I know is serious business. If you want to do it, you got to do it right in the right environment, in a safe place, yeah. around yep, safe yep, people.
Yeah, definitely it's not a recreational party thing.
Not a recreational thing, exactly.
I have not done ayahuasca yet. There is a good friend of mine who also, he did a couple ayahuasca journeys. He invited me to go with him to Florida in the beginning of the year. And I feel called, as my plant medicine coach tells me. If you feel called to it, then you do it. And there was a point in my life where I wasn't, like I didn't want to deal with that. My mind has changed a bit and now I'm more open and receptive to it. So yeah, I am considering doing that. But the thing that I found actually be really useful, Eric, is, so I do microdose and I kind of forgot, like you don't have to just do the microdoses. You can take low doses. And so for me, with the experience I had with my heroic dose that I did, the other weekend everyone was kind of away. I had some time and I did a little mini ceremony and I took like 1.5 grams of psilocybin that I microdosed from. And I had an amazing experience from it. Amazing in the sense that it was very productive for me to get through some limiting beliefs and some things that didn't serve me anymore. And I got a lot of insight from doing that. And I realized, I think that's something I need to make as part of like a quarterly routine, like once a quarter or, you know, every 2 months or so. Set aside some time, find a place, and work on myself doing that because I just found so much transformational benefits from doing that. So that was kind of a cool way of getting it without the full intense experience that an ayahuasca or a full-on psilocybin or DMT or whatever can deliver.
Yeah, forgive my ignorance. How would the microdose, is that just a capsule or a pill or is it a liquid form? What is that?
Yeah, So I'll tell you what my coach does. So she literally grows the mushrooms. She has different strains and different strains, almost at different properties. And she just knows this from being in the business for a long time. And she gets them from certain growers or farmers. So she'll kind of recommend like, what are you looking to get out of it, sort of thing. And she'll prescribe. She'll suggest one a variant, and then a dosage, and then you take it to come. She dries it out. So it's like a desiccant, comes in a little pill and you take it in the morning and there's a stack too. You can look up Paul Stamets. He has a microdosing stack and you stack turkey tail mushroom and lion's mane mushroom along with vitamin B3, I think, nicotinamide, if I remember correctly, if I'm saying it right. And the benefit for doing this is when you're taking the microdose of psilocybin, it helps to, I'm going to try my best to remember the effect here. It slows down or mutes the default network in your brain, like the neuron pathways that your brain constantly uses, and allows for new connections and new pathways to be created. And why that's important is it helps you kind of create, you get out of your head easier. For me, I got more patience with my family and my kids. I have a bunch of little kids. And it just kind of creates more space and more patience for me. And then I also was able to get more insights, creative insights from things. So all of this stuff does, it helps you be more creative, calm down, potentially. Everyone's different. And that's how I took it. We take it. So you take it like in the morning, empty stomach. You do like 3-4 days on, 3 days off. You don't want to take it like continuously. Give yourself a little break and then you take it on again.
And the experience is pretty consistent considering even if you're using the same exact dosage, you know, these are natural compounds. So
yeah, it's just dried mushrooms. Yeah, right? It's pretty consistent. Certain strands will, you're not supposed to feel anything really. They're like sub-perception it's how it's supposed to work. You just kind of notice certain things. I just noticed for me when I was microdosing and now it's to a point where it's sort of permanent now. Like I have naturally just more patience with my kids. But in the beginning, it was like night and day. Like I took it, I didn't know what to expect either. It was like, I'd be really short tempered. And then the days where I was on it, I was like, wow, it doesn't take as much of this to get me going. Like it takes a lot of this now. And I'm poking my finger at myself is what I'm doing. Those that are listening to this. And it was like refreshing to be able to see that, you know?
Yeah. A couple questions around that. Any side effects that you experience when you microdose?
The only side effect that can happen is if you're having and you allow yourself to have a bad day, It can intensify that a little bit. That's about it.
So you can microdose and function. You don't have to lock yourself in a room, you know, like a wolf man.
No, because it is a microdose. Like, right. So for scale here, like when you're doing a hero's dose, that's where you're having visuals and experience and all this whole thing.
So what do you do in that case?
That's where you're working with like a practitioner, right?
Okay.
So when I did my hero dose, it was like 6 grams of mushrooms. It's a lot of,
wow.
Measure 6 grams of something and you'll see what that is.
Yeah.
So 6 grams of dried mushrooms, which, you know, you're having a 5-6 hour journey experience with that. That's why it's called a journey. You're going somewhere else. With microdose, it's literally a, 100 milligrams. So it is a small fraction of that. And you really, in order to kind of have a bit of a sensation of an experience, you probably have to take at least a gram, like 10 pills. So if you're taking one pill, it's not that big of a deal. You don't really feel anything. But you do start to get some benefits from it.
Gotcha. And so just for clarity, microdosing, you can function and do that throughout your day, or you know, don't necessarily need a guide.
No.
But in the hero doses or any sort of experience like ayahuasca.
You absolutely should be doing. I mean, like, I'll tell you, when I was in towards the end of my journey, I learned a lot of things, what to do, what not to do. One of the things that you don't want to do is when you're having a sense of anxiety in your experience, maybe there's you're reliving an experience, some kind of thought, whatever you resist persists. So I remember like having, I think it was a certain fear of like loss or death or something like that. And I got really scared and I kind of held on to that. And what happens is the medicine can amplify that and tempt you. And it's there to show you something. That's the perception or perspective you should be taking is like, what are you trying to show me? I didn't do that. Instead, I kind of resisted on it and held back and it just got more intense and it can get very intense and scary and overwhelming. Those are like, if you look up like common side effects of like hero's journey, those are like the most common things. And so the way around that is you just kind of observe or you recognize, okay, I'm having this feeling. Like, what am I supposed to learn from this? What's the lesson here? And then just like magic, it subsides and goes away. And then it allows you to kind of experience something else. So there's that piece that could happen. But like when you're doing a microdose, no, like you're not like your judgment's all screwed up or like you can't walk straight. Like everything's totally fine. You're operating, I feel like, more optimally in your brain.
Mm.
And it also comes down to intention too, right, Eric? Like, you know, if your intention is, that's really the key here. And I don't want to oversimplify this. If your intention is to do this, to get better, to be more creative, to do something productive, that's the experience you will get out of it. But if you come in with this idea that this is going to be scary or bad, or I'm going to have a bad experience, you will absolutely get what you asked for.
Yeah. Any addictive sort of qualities to it?
Nope. Other than like, this is cool. I like how my brain works a little bit on this, but like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you feel like you have then there's an area for work. Like what is causing me? What in my life has caused me to feel like I need to be addicted to something or dependent on this external thing, whether it's video games, drugs, porn, insert addiction here.
Yeah. Yeah. Deal with. So the irony here is, can I use like a psilocybin or some other method that could be addicting to treat my
addiction?
My propensity.
But no, what happens is it comes down to, I feel like, at least for me, you start to develop a level of self-awareness about yourself, you know, and that awareness helps put the spotlight on your behaviors and realizing it's almost like you're leveling up your level of consciousness.
Yeah.
Not that you're becoming enlightened or Buddha, but like you start to go in that direction and then you realize these self-destructive habits of addiction, whatever the thing is, it's not good. It's not good for you, for your loved ones or whatever else. And so you kind of, it's easier for you to let go because you have an awareness of that.
Yeah.
That's what I've noticed.
So how much of this do you share in terms of, you know, publicly with friends, close circles, your wife, you know, because like when you have these discoveries and you start to unlock these doors, don't you want to share? I'm like, you know what happened to me?
You want to scream on the mountaintop.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Eric, like this is kind of, my wife knows, my wife, so I did a journey and then 2 days later, she did a journey. So it was a wonderful experience separately, but to be able to have a shared similar experience and to talk, I think we got a lot closer as a result of that. Mm. So like for us, that was helpful in our marriage. So I shared my journey experience with her over the phone and when she came back, cause she was away, friends, not many. And like now this will be public. I'm happy to talk about it. It's a fun thing. It's a new, like awesome, game-changing, inspiring thing. And I'm happy to talk about it with anyone that wants to listen. But I don't really have many people in my circle right now that I get to interact with and exchange with physically. Like it's done through the interwebs right now, Eric. And it's better than nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, well, you can always text or call me. Now I know I can reach out to you and be like, hey, dude, I microdosed. But breath work is definitely a good way to experience some form of tapping in.
It's a great way. And I was gonna say training wheels, but like that almost like diminishes it down to like some elementary thing. No, yeah. It's very, very powerful with breath work. It's a great place to start.
Yeah. Yeah. And the app you mentioned, Outer Ship, you said, or?
Yeah. Other Ship. So there is Other Ship. So there is,
gonna look that
Other
up.
Ship is one of them. And then the other one that's kind of cool, it's called Breathe, but they're very different.
Which one guides you through the breath work and then
Other Ship.
Okay. Because that's what I need, that experience where, okay, I'm being guided through the breath work and then I'm getting high during the breath work and they understand what's happening to you. And then now they start to unlock those doors.
Yes. Yeah. That's why it's worth it, because like it's well done. Like the production quality. You ever do guided meditations before? Listen to guided meditation before?
Yeah, the app.
You ever listen to the bad ones?
Yes. Good ones and bad ones.
You hear like mouth slapping and teeth smacking together or breathing. it's the most distracting thing. Suddenly your senses heighten and you're like, I can't anymore because they're. It's like they have dentures on it. You hear that fucking sound?
Oh, dude, I even heard a dog barking in the background once. I was like, what is happening here? This is a professional app, isn't it?
You can't. So the point is, there's none of that on there. The music, they add these like this background music to it, and they're really groovy. It's just like super well done. I can't say enough good things. And eventually, if Othership wants to sponsor me, I'm happy to take the
You remind me affiliate. Of... Because you said it's expensive. It's all relative, right? We're used to 99 cent apps. I spent $100 on an app.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's like $100. It's not much in our little world. But Synctuition was an app that I was really... Did you ever listen to that one?
No, what is that about?
It's a meditation app. But what they do is they take advantage of the spatial audio in the AirPods. And it's 3D sound. So... It surrounds you and it's very trippy. Like anyone who wants to get high or something could really enjoy this because you hear people walking behind you, walking in front of you, sand, it's an audio experience. But it's for meditation and it does binaural beats. So you're not even aware of it. It's a journey, but yeah, I've exhausted the library like 1.5 times. So I'm like, I need to move on to something. So I'm going to look into that.
Yeah. You'll love Other Ship. You'll love Other Ship. Yeah. And if you can, there's even like, again, there's intimate ones where you can do with your lover, your wife or your spouse. And they're simple. Like it could just be like embrace, right? Yeah. Which is kind of a cool experience. So there's a lot to check out. There's a lot to unpack there.
Dude, there's so much stuff I want to unpack with you. I know we're short on time. Do you have another... The top of the hour, you're good. Maybe a little
later.
I have a meeting, but
I'm master of my own domain. So
that's great. It's great, dude. There's something you and I we can get into. There's so many things people who are listening to this, and it's like I wish it's a choose your own adventure. But we're talking. We could talk about making money and investments. We could talk about sales. We could talk about handguns and ammunition. Arsenals, real estate. You have whatever it is. There you go. Are you putting something together there? You took it apart?
It's a frame. I'm going to get it
Power coded. Nice. Yeah. I was just talking. Here's a question. Because we live in New Jersey, it's relatively easy to get a handgun. You do have to wait some time. But where are you? You moved. Did you move out of state?
I escaped New Jersey and I moved to Georgia.
Okay. You're in Georgia. So say I'm moving to Georgia from New Jersey. I can't just throw the arsenal into the trunk, right? I have to take things apart. Or here's what they say on the government websites. You have to hand everything into your local police station and then they will mail it to you in your new location. I'm like, that doesn't really sound like a thing that I want to do. So what would you
never want to give
say is the best way to transport when you're moving from state to state? Because you can't just drive across state lines because all the laws are different, aren't they?
So the laws are different. You absolutely. So here, there's the right legal way. And then there's the not that.
The hack way.
It all comes down to it's a risk reward here, right? So what is the risk? What are the chances of you moving one way from one state to the next one, transporting firearms? Now, obviously, you got to do things that are safe, right? You put them in a locked container. Right. They're not unloaded. They're in the trunk, things like that. You take care of all the baseline pieces. Ammo should not be connected with your gun, whatever else. But like you do want to check. I know, like, for example, in Massachusetts, it's a long story. I had a trip that included me potentially taking a rifle into Massachusetts to travel somewhere else. And then I realized I read the laws of Massachusetts. Is like the worst state in the world.
Yeah.
Very strict. You literally cannot stop your car. So if you're going to be relocating or you're moving, taking your firearms, just check the gun laws in each of those states and you plan your trip, your route accordingly. Mm-hmm. You're going to DC, you're going through Virginia, if you're going from New Jersey to Georgia. Once you start getting to Virginia and south of that, like you're in the land of freedom for the most part. Mm-hmm. So the laws are less restrictive there. But for the most part, you do the speed limit, don't draw attention to yourself, and get the hell out of Dodge. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Okay.
Check the laws. Don't break the law. Because some states like Massachusetts, where it's like literally you cannot stop unless you have so you don't stop. You either avoid the state entirely or you just drive, you gas up before you enter that state and you drive straight through.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
But also, again, what are the chances of like a cop pulling you over?
Yeah.
It could happen. Broken taillight. Who knows?
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Exactly. Flat tire. Who knows? You pull over to help. I wish I realized I was just in Georgia, in Lake Oconee. I would have reached out to you.
Oh, cool. It's beautiful over there.
Yeah.
Is that where the event was?
Yeah. The Ritz-Carlton. Yeah, that's where I did
the Ritz-Carlton. Yeah. It's really beautiful over there.
Really nice. I didn't realize that was a man-made lake. And got a lot of info from our Uber driver. He was a very local type guy that knew all the history of the town.
You know, you said that and you reminded me of the taxi driver in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where Steve Martin goes, it's the middle of the night, you know, because they're not there yet. And the guy's taking the scenic route to get him to their hotel in somewhere middle of nowhere thing. But
yeah,
it's like, Sean Kane was like, he's really proud of where he lives.
You remind me of, I thought you were going to say the scene where the guy picks him up in the pickup truck and his wife is about 4'11".
Get your...
Yeah. And she's either...
Get behind out of the car,
he
right?
He spits or she spits. She's pregnant, right? And she's like...
He spits in his hand. He shakes his hand. And Steve Martin goes, as he's shaking his spitty hand. Yes, and then he goes, leave it there. And she goes, what does he say?
He says...
Get your lazy behind out of there and help him. And she's like... he said something like... she might be short and weak. No, short and something, but she first kid came out sideways.
Yeah. Her first kid came out sideways. What a great
one. Is that so?
What a classic. Right? But yeah, brother. So I know you're doing a lot of cool things. You're moving, you're shaking, you have a book.
I do.
That is called, bear with me, I have it here in front of me. You don't have to say it. It's financial. Hold on. Much of psilocybin on my end. Unlocking Financial Freedom is the name of your book. And
That's the ebook. I have a real book that I wrote.
Oh, what's the name of the real book?
You ready?
Yeah.
So Rich You Can Quit.
Ooh. I love that. And is that available in all Amazon?
It will be. I'm putting the final touches on there. I think by the time you release this, I'll have a website for people that want to pre-order or put their name down for the first kind of, I think the first 100 copies will be free. But as a former tech sales guy, I used to sell servers, storage, all the stuff that used to run the cloud to big enterprise companies. I discovered real estate as a way of creating financial freedom for myself and my family. And I also realized that I love real estate a lot. I love it a lot more than tech sales. So I've kind of built a whole business around that. And it kind of tells a story and paints the picture on how you can kind of go from one career in tech sales and take the winnings and the money that you make from that and put into real estate and really build a life and a legacy that you can't really otherwise do when you're, you know, chained to the hamster wheel of sales.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, getting into that, and especially with a sales background, how did you leverage that ability? Did you use it during negotiation of properties or like, how did you adapt to the new industry?
You know, there was a lot of personal growth and development and limiting beliefs that I had to get through, changing the persona from engineer to sales guy to sales guy to real estate investor. And, you know, that mini journey I had a couple weeks ago, part of that was letting go of a lot of this limiting belief around, like, I've made it now. I don't have to hold on to this idea that I don't, you know, I'm new at this. I've been doing this for 6 or 7 years. I got it, right? And thanking that part of me that was trying to protect me and letting go of that. But I think what I took out of this was how instrumental sales is. I think sales should be requirement for anyone and everybody. If you're going to get into any kind of business, any kind of job in the real world, you should do some kind of sales. You get used to rejection. You get used to communicating, how to craft a message, like creating value for people, trying to help people. Like that's what sales did. So when I got into real estate from sales, like it was easier for me than it would be for other people. For example, being able to negotiate and talk with banks, being able to negotiate and talk with family offices or private equity groups. Like these are big boys and I'm used to working with the big boys because those are the clients that I served when I was in my tech sales job.
Yeah.
You know? So that was, that made it a lot easier. Being able to be in sales and being an enterprise or professional environment and carry yourself and talk to people, you know, in a very professional manner.
Yeah. I love it, dude. You're a brilliant guy, man. I appreciate time with you. I appreciate having these conversations, watching your journey. I know you launched your podcast recently, so happy for you on there. Congratulations. Lessons Around on all podcast platforms. Coming to a YouTube near you as well. So excited about all the things you're doing, brother. What's the best way people can reach out to you, get some help, maybe some dosing?
Yep. Yep. So you can check out thetechsalesinvestor.com. That's thetechsalesinvestor.com. Or you can go to jpalbano.com. Either way, those work. But thetechsalesinvestor.com is probably the best way. And I'm also on all the social media. So if you want to do those things, that's cool too.
Awesome, brother. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for your time and looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Eric.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.